Hey, all, we are here tonight with Jim Albrecht from the fucking Chainsaw Metal Legends Centenary. Jim, thank you very much for taking time out of your evening to bullshit with me.
Oh, no problem, man. No problem.
Hell yeah. So what do you guys have going on right now? New music in the works?
Trying to work on our next record. We've been writing, doing a lot of writing for it. But we keep taking breaks here and there to play shows. Sometimes you get asked to do stuff and you can't say no. So,
Yep.
You know how that is. But yeah. We're pretty close to being done with the writing, and then we'll be tracking after that. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what basically we've been doing, is just working on a lot of new stuff. And like this week we had a live in the studio set that we recorded, like, I don't know, 6 7 months ago, for Oxide Sessions. It's like a YouTube channel where they do like live in the studio recordings of like bands, and then they upload into their channel. So we did that, and we played a new song for that. So that came out like Wednesday. So I've just been like, spamming that everywhere pretty much. So, but yeah, we got a couple shows coming up, but pretty much just going to be writing, and yeah, we'll probably be tracking by summer.
Hell yeah.
Or end of spring, summer.
How many songs do you have written so far for it?
Well, we're probably, I think we're, we got about seven really solid ones. And then like we have more than enough riffs for, the rest of them. It's just, hammering on them. And, you know how you do, you have a song a certain way, and then you just, you hammer at it until, it's a finished song. So
yeah.
Some of them come together in a couple practices, and some of them take a month. It just depends,
Yeah, it just depends on what's going on and what the feeling is behind it.
And it's like, well, like with the last record, I mean, that happened during COVID, so there, we couldn't play shows, so it was all we had time to do was just focus on the record, so that was cool. But so like doing it and like still try to like, go out and play shows and stuff, it's like, and we live in different cities, so, we try to make that work the best we can, sending riffs back and forth and, all that good stuff. But, we just want to, we're just, making sure that we like the songs as much as we like the last ones we did. So
for sure. That's important, right? I think for all bands, what they should do is make music that they like, and all the rest will come to, it'll come together.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like, we're trying to, I mean, we have fun doing what we do, but I mean, we please ourselves first.
Yeah.
We're just, lucky that, if anybody else likes it. So it's like, we just, as far as like we're concerned, I mean, we're just, evolving the sound, from, where it's been, and, just keep, just doing things with the sound that we have and pushing it forward and, writing more riffs. So, and, as long as we like them, if anybody else does, it's kind of a bonus, I guess. So that's cool.
For sure. So recording end of spring, beginning of summer ish, right? Anticipated timeline. How long do you think it'll take you to actually record it once you get in there?
That's usually the fastest part of the whole process, actually. I mean, it'd be hard to say. We knocked that whole thing out in a couple weekends. So, we don't really overthink a lot of things. And, we make sure we just have everything down the way we want it. Like basically practices consist of us just getting together and playing all the new stuff, up until it's time to record. So that way it's like we go in and record, and it's like, you just knock the stuff out. It's not like you gotta, get help to make the recording happen. We just kind of go in there and the recording, we do the recording, that's it.
Yeah,
just knock the songs out.
Who do you have someone lined up to like produce?
Our buddy Jeff that did the last one. So
okay.
um you know, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. You know, we love, you know, like working with the guy, and you know, we're going to do a few different things as far as recording drums and a few other things, but I mean, pretty much same formula that we used last time. And we were happy with the way it came out.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, it works for us.
That's what matters, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we captured the sound that we wanted with the last record. So it's like, you know, why would we deviate from that? So, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So who are some of, like, you know, as a bass player, who are some of your, like, huge influences?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I have, you know, there's a lot of different bass players that I like, but I mean, like, you know, a lot of ones I like that I could never play like them in a million years if I wanted to, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, well, I mean, I really like a lot of classic rock guys like John Paul Jones and Geezer Butler, obviously. And then, you know, Lemmy, you know, getting into heavier music, Shane from Napalm Death, Dan Lilker from Nuclear Assault, Brutal Truth, Dee Dee Verney from Overkill, guys like that, pretty much. I love the guys that play really crazy, but I'm not one of them. So, you know, I just focus on, you know, focus on the groove and, you know, keeping the low end down and, you know, locking in with the drums and, you know, doing what a bass player is supposed to do. Except, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, do solos. So.
Yeah.
No, I like my role. So, you know.
Okay.
Do it to the best of my ability.
Well, yeah, I think you do it pretty well.
No, thanks. I try.
That's it. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
What? So did the band start in 2015?
Mike's actually started kicking around the band like in 2014 with, like, you know, various different people and things like that. I came in like the end of 2015. I was in a band before called Genocide for like 15 years. So, that band had just ended. So I was, you know, looking for something to do, and, you know, the timing was there and it sounded like fun. So, and then, like, I don't know, within about 6 months after that, my buddy Matt from Genocide as well also came in on guitar, and Al on vocals, and we knew from another band called Nurse Ratched, and that was like about now, yeah, like within the next 6 months after that. And then we got Adam back in 2019, and yeah, we've had the same lineup ever since.
Hell yeah.
And it's, you know we you know, you sometimes you have to, you know, find that right, that magic combination, and, you know, with like different bands, and I feel like we found ours. So, you know, pretty happy with the way things are, and we all, you know, we all get along, and that's important.
You know,
it's
like,
yeah, it's too draining to make music with people that you don't get along with. I mean, that's the bottom line for me anyways. I mean, I have to enjoy what I'm doing, and, you know, if it's work to get along with the people that you're making music with, it's like, what's the point? I mean, you know, it's just not worth it at the end of the day for me. I'd rather not do it, you know.
Yeah, I don't understand how people can do that, right? Because if you're creating, I'd rather create with someone that I like hanging out with.
Yeah, and there are exceptions. I mean, sometimes that kind of turmoil has created some really good music, but, mm-hmm. you know, that's, you know, like I said, for myself, it's like, you know, part of the whole experience is just enjoying what, you know, enjoying making music with, you know, and that's like, it's easier to do with people that you get along with. I mean, yeah, sure. you're not going to always get along, but I mean, there's a difference between that and, you know, just not even like being around somebody. It's like, you know, why?
Right.
Probably why I've only been in like a handful of bands, because, you know, I just was not going to waste my time if I didn't click with like the people that, you know, I was playing with. So it didn't defeated the purpose.
Yeah. So Genocide was, you said, together about 15 years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just kind of, you know, we played everywhere, like all over Michigan for quite a while. You know, had a lot of fun. It was a great band. I loved it. But, you know, sometimes, you know, everything comes to an end sometimes. And that was just one of those things where, you know, it ran its course. It was enjoyable. And, you know, I still love all those guys. So, you know, we're all still friends and we're all still alive. So, you know, that's, can't ask for much more than that.
So
but
how many?
It's cool to have, you know, it's cool to have somebody that was, you know, in Genocide with me that, you know, that I wrote with and played music with in the band that, you know, in Centenary. So, I mean, that kind of makes that cool in itself too. So.
Yeah, it probably makes it a lot easier to write too, because you're already familiar with playing styles and what to expect.
Well, yeah, and that was the thing too. You know, we all pretty much knew each other. You know, I've known Mike for years. Like, you know, all the years I was in Genocide, he was in All Creations Wept. You know, he was a bass player, so that was like, you know, we were in different bands, but you know, we knew each other and, you know, played a lot of shows. And I knew Al because he was in Nurse Ratched, played a lot, you know, played some shows with them. And so, yeah, I mean, when we all got together, it was, you know, I mean, we already knew each other, so. You know,
Yeah.
that's, you know, so that's cool. You know, it's fun.
So what shows do you guys have coming up?
We're playing at Mulligan's in Grand Rapids, March 6th. Yeah, is it the 6th? Oh, yeah, I think it's March. Well, no, it's March. Yeah, March 9th. Okay, yeah, March 9th. With the Black Temple and a Hellish Torment, and that's like a no cover show, so that should be fun. You know, I haven't played Mulligan's in a long time, but that was always a cool bar to play. So, and guys in Black Temple are, you know, pretty good friends we go way back with, so that'll be fun. March 31st, we are opening for Left to Die, which is a death tribute band with Rick Ross and Terry Butler.
Yep.
You know, from Death, and Matt Harvey from Exhumed on vocals, and he's also in Gruesome, and Gus Rios, who's also in Gruesome. So they're playing like Death songs from the first two records, but they actually came here about a year and a half ago. They were doing a tour and we were supposed to play with them, and all the power went out in Hamtramck. It was like a sold out show. So it basically turned into like, you know, heavy metal parking lot. We all just kind of hung out in the parking lot for hours waiting for the power to come back on, which it never did. So, and it was like the only date of the whole tour that didn't go off because, you know, of something that was out of everybody's control. So those guys were cool enough to do a makeup show. They're doing like three dates. And then I guess one of them's in Detroit. So, and we are, you know, lucky enough to get to do the makeup date, so we got that, which is, and it's what, Easter Sunday too, so that's kind of cool.
That's,
you
really
know,
cool.
I wasn't gonna do anything on Easter anyways, so yeah, like that. And and then we're doing another Oigs Fest in Kalamazoo, April 6th. Getting my dates wrong, but it's like an annual festival that Brad from a band called Cavalcade puts together every year, and he gets a bunch of really cool bands to play every year. So, and we've done a couple of them before. So,
yep.
Looking forward to doing that. There's a bunch of cool bands on that one.
I know Stonecutters playing.
Yeah, Stonecutters go way back with those guys. We played down in Kentucky with them. It was about a year ago. Yeah, yep. About a year ago. So
I was at that show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was at Losers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard they changed their name, but I can't remember what they changed it to. I've seen something
Wrong
about
side.
That not too long. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. But yeah, I mean, shoot. I mean, I'm trying to think of the first time I saw Stonecutters. It was back in the Genocide days, of course. But they used to come to Michigan like all the time. So, I mean, we got to know those guys pretty well. So, known Brian a while.
Yeah.
So, always cool to play with, you know, play shows with him and see him and stuff. He's always been a really cool guy. And Stonecutter's music is just great.
Yep. Yeah, they're actually, like, I just gave away an Eye of the Skull vinyl.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, nice. Yeah, I'm glad that they're, you know, back up and running and, you know, things are going the way he wants with that band, because, you know, that's that you know, that band is Brian. That's for sure. And you know, yeah, they do some really good music. I always figured it was like, to me, they were always like, you know, if Mastodon hadn't got all proggy and like got heavier, that's what Stonecutter's always have kind of sounded like to me. And that's, you know, I'd mean that in the best possible way. So, you know, really good stuff.
Yeah, I could see that, right? Like, I could have, that's a really good way to describe it, actually.
Yeah, because I mean, I saw Max Barr here in Lansing, like, I don't know, it was like 2002. I saw, it was like Mastodon when like Remission was out. I mean, seeing him back then was ridiculous. I mean, they were ridiculously awesome. You know, I mean, you know, they're still good now, but I mean, they were like just all heavy. You know, they weren't, they just definitely weren't, you know, it was around that time. So it's like, I mean, they were just so good. I mean, they were there opening for Cephalic Carnage, which it said the combination of those two bands in one show was pretty ridiculous as it was. And yeah, I've seen Mastodon out a bunch of times after that, but that one was still like one of the best ones. Cause I mean, that bar, you know, it was like 150 people fit in that bar. And, you know, it was like, you know, that was like still like the best time I ever saw them.
Yeah. So didn't they like, didn't Max like shut down for a little bit?
Yes, they did. And they've been remodeled by the owner, and I haven't been back there since it reopened, but I've seen pictures. It's just, you know, a lot of my memories are of that place are attached to the old Max, so it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
And from people I've talked to that have gone to shows there, it's definitely not the same. So it doesn't really sound like I'm missing a whole lot, you know.
That's
fair. As far as Lansing goes, I mean, you know, Displaced Manor, you know, I would rather play there any day of the week than play a show at Max, because, you know, what Displaced Manor does is really cool. I mean, they're like, you know, trying to keep the scene alive in Lansing, because, you know, the scene hasn't really, you know, been here, you know, in Lansing like it was when I moved here. You know, Detroit's pretty hopping though right now. I mean, you know, well, it always has been though. I mean, Detroit's got a lot of really talented bands.
You know, I think Michigan
all different kinds of genres too. I mean, it's just amazing how many different kinds of bands there are, and they're just all really good at what they do.
Yeah, but you know, like recently, obviously digging more into just a lot more of the underground personally, like Michigan as a whole has some really good fucking bands. Like, I don't know. I feel like there have been some great bands coming out of there.
Oh yeah. I mean, a lot of my favorite bands that I listen to a lot are from right here. There's just so many bands. I mean, you know, Cavalcade is one of my favorite. I mean, I always tell everybody they're one of the most overlooked bands in Michigan, because they are. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, one of those bands that, you know, totally unique as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they're really hard to label, and their music's really good. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know, like some, you know, they have songs where it's like, you know, Mr. Bungle playing black metal, and you know, some stuff's like, you know, then they have stuff that sounds like The Cure. But I mean, it's crazy. But it sounds crazy, but it all gets put together in a way that makes sense and is awesome. And there's just so many good. I mean, like just a couple weeks ago, that Oxide Sessions channel I told you we did the thing for. I've discovered a couple good ones on that. Last Chimera. Those guys are awesome. Three piece. I mean, people that say, you know, rock is dead, they haven't heard the right bands, because they're out there. Glass Chimera, the Lucid Furs from Detroit is another great. I mean, they're just, you know, like I said, this is just rock I mean, but it's great. It's good rock. I mean, you don't really hear that on the radio or anything these days. But I do hear a lot of it, you know, out in the bars. It's just not on the radio.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, obviously when we were kids, it was a lot different listening to the radio. Oh, yeah. We didn't have all this access. And now.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, radio culture was a lot different. Well, I mean, radio was all we had back then, though, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, internet kind of, you know, cancels all that out pretty much. I mean, radio doesn't really do anything. You know, it's there, but, you know, it is what it is. I mean, what, two companies own like all the radio stations pretty much? So
yeah, it's something like that.
You know, there's not really, I mean, like with so many other things, I mean, you know, one or two companies own it all, and, you know, there's no competition and no reason to make it better. So it's just kind of there.
Yep.
You know?
Well, yeah, but you know, with everything at our fingertips, it's a lot easier to find some really, really good bands.
Oh yeah. I can't keep up, really, honestly. It's like there's so many new bands come out all the time, and it's like I used to really like be on top of that stuff, and I still try, but you know, the thing is just, I'm still like, there's still like probably stuff that came out last year that I haven't got around to listening to yet, because it's just, you know, there's just so much, and you only have so, I mean, that's the thing, is like I wish I had more hours in the day to listen to music, because it's like, yeah, I want to like keep checking out new stuff, but you know, I also like to go back and revisit old stuff. So it's mm-hmm. like, and I'm always finding old music that I missed out on the first time. So, you know, there's that. And, you know, and yeah, because of streaming, it's like, it's all at my fingertips. So it's like, yeah, I can hear all kinds of, so yeah, I mean, this is the thing, is you just don't have enough time to listen to it all.
Right.
I mean, as much as you would like to, you know, it that is, and even that itself is different, because, you know, back in the day, it was like you were starving, you know, to find good music. It was like anything you could get your hands on, you're like, oh, you know, this is awesome. You know, now it's like there's so much of it. So, you know, so yeah, I mean,
well, and half the time you hear something, like I find a lot of bands on Spotify. Like I'll mm-hmm. I'll say, oh, I'm gonna listen to, I don't know, Slayer or Blessed Black or, you know, Crop or whatever it is. Yeah. And it starts playing stuff afterwards, and you're like, yeah, okay, this stuff's pretty good. And then one will jump out at you, and you're like, holy shit, I got to check, really dig into that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll give Spotify some credit. Sometimes they show me stuff, and I'm like, wow, how'd you figure out that I'd like that? I mean, you know, this is one of those things where, like, damn, I actually do like that. Damn it.
Well, you know? I think with Spotify, it's like throwing things at a wall, like, yeah, something's bound to stick.
Yeah, more or less. And it's, you know, it's another one of those things, you know, it's like you view as like a necessary evil. It's like mm-hmm. it's like, you know, yeah, it's like, you know, I like having our music on there, because it's like, you know, regardless of whatever, it's like people in other countries get to hear it, and that's and that would have never been possible back in the day,
right?
And it's like, you know, it is, you know, a lot of people consume music that way, whether we like it or not. So it's like, why cut yourself off from, you know, a whole segment of people that's the only way, you know, the way they consume music. So it's like, well, you know, they got to be able to hear it too. I'm not going to, you know, who cares about the money thing? It's like, I've never made any money from music before streaming. So it's like, why would I get bent out of shape about it now?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, back in our day, it was, The difference between streaming now and when we were younger was, back then we used to rip tapes and send them to people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like all the time. You know?
Yeah.
I was always like, yeah, taping stuff out. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's just how you did it. You know, I found a lot of good stuff that way though, too.
Yeah. Me too.
And that's like a lot of ways I am now, like with new stuff. It's like, if a bunch of people like recommend something to me, then I'll be like, all right, cool, I'll check it out. You know, where it's like, man, it's just, like I said, it's just so much stuff comes out. I mean, I really do try, but you know,
well,
anyway, admittedly, there's a lot of stuff where I'm just like, yeah, I'm good on that. I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, not gonna knock it, but you know, it's not my jam or whatever. So, yeah. You know, and that's gonna happen. I mean, it's impossible to like everything as much as that, as nice as that idea sounds. I mean, we can't, you know, we can't help it. There's going to be something that you're like, ah, no, sorry.
Right. Know, no, that's exactly it. Right. And there are some bands that you hear them on, you hear them recorded and you're like, you know, not my thing, but you see them live and you're like, oh
well, yeah.
Great and fucking live show.
And that's probably like my, you know, I try to, you know, leave the complaining to everybody else and just kind of focus on what I like and stuff like that. But, you know, like my biggest gripe with a lot of modern, you know, metal, quote unquote, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, but the from a production aspect, it's like, it seems like it's gotten very sterile. You know, it's like you're, you know, same guitar tones, same drum tones, same everything. It's like, no, you know, aside from the bands being different sound wise, it's like they're all interchangeable because the production all sounds the same. And it's like, I mean, say what you want about the old days or whatever technology wise. I mean, at least like the recordings all had like their own separate identity. Like the band came through in the recording, you know. Yeah. But I mean, I also hear, you know, especially the bigger metal world, you know, a lot of producers, like, you know, not even letting bands play on their records. It's all sound replacement and things like that. And I'm just like, you know, that's, I'm just like, yeah, you know, I could never like put myself through all that just for the sake of, you know, success, or I guess whatever it is you want to call it. It's like, you know, for better or worse, you know, I like being in a band where it's like, we do everything, you know, we play everything. There's no click tracks, backing tracks, anything. It's just us. You know, we trust our drummer. You know, he's really good. You know, he's like a human metronome. So it's like, you know, why bother with anything else? It works for us. You know, yeah. I'm not going to knock any bands that use that stuff. I'm just really happy to be in a band that doesn't. So
that's fair. Well, that's why you guys are all in a band together, right?
Yeah. I mean, it works. You know, it works for us. You know, and then that's what's cool, is because, you know, I like bands being all different. You know, that's the whole point, is to all be different, not all sound the same. So
yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's why I dig into like all kinds of music, because I don't want it all to sound the same. If I wanted that, I'd just put on AC/DC all the time.
Well, yeah. And you know, no knock to them, because I love AC/DC, but
right.
I totally get what you're saying though, too. But yeah, I mean, oh God, when I was a kid, man, it was like, oh, AC/DC. That I remember like hearing them for the first time. It was like, you know, that was probably like some of the heaviest shit I heard when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old. Or something like that.
Well, so. Yeah, you hear Hell's Bells and it's like,
yeah. It's just funny when you look back at like context and, mm-hmm. you know, how old you were when you heard something, you know, versus like people hearing something now, and it's like, yeah, I get it. You know, and it's like, yeah, it's just, you know, but that's the thing though. It's like, I can still, you know, no matter what music I listen to now, I can still go back and like, you know, I can listen to AC/DC for, you know, hours, you know.
Oh yeah.
It will, especially all the Bon Scott stuff. That's like my favorite era. Yeah. But, you know, there is some overlooked Brian Johnson stuff off of those first couple of records after Back in Black that nobody kind of pays attention to. But, you know.
Yeah, I think that's with a lot of bands though, right?
Like, yeah.
Everyone bitches that like this band isn't the original band anymore. Well, shit. If we look at almost any band, none of them are the fucking original bands anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, Napalm Death doesn't have any original members, and that doesn't seem to bother. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it doesn't seem to bother anybody that likes them. So,
well, shit. Even
but, you know, in some cases, that actually makes sense. You know, or that actually, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, in a lot of cases,
right?
I mean. There are those times where you have those bands where, you know, a certain member's, you know, influence in the band was so great that, you know, their absence is definitely noticeable. You know, that does happen. And you know, and for some people to be like, oh yeah, you know, it never, well, like, you know, it's a, you know, I don't have anything wrong with Slayer replacing Dave Lombardo. I mean, I did like Divine Intervention a lot, but for the most part, I'm like a Dave Lombardo guy. So it's like, for me, it's like Slayer was never the same. And it's not like a knock on, it's not like a knock on Paul Bostoff either. He's a great drummer. It's just, you know, he just had that way of hitting the drums that, for me, that's like, that was like a part of it.
Yeah.
And like, and yeah, you could play the drums like the same way, but if you don't hit it, you know, it's just, you know, little things like that are noticeable sometimes. But yeah, with some bands, I mean, you know, look how, I mean, look how many member changes Overkill have had.
Yeah.
So, you know, they still have consistently put out great albums for 30 years, and you know, they've had two main members though, you know, just, you know, Blitz and Dee Dee the whole time.
Yep.
So it's, yeah, I mean, it's different for every band pretty much. Some bands,
Yeah.
you know, don't matter, and you know, some it does.
And I think with Overkill, like, you're right. Their music has always been fucking great
Oh
and
yeah,
bit.
I mean, that's like one of my favorite thrash bands there. So I'm kind of biased on them. I really like those dudes.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like Bittner has fit in really well with them.
oh yeah, I seen him with them a couple years ago. They played in Grand Rapids. It was like Death Angel opened, and that was a really good show. And they played a lot of old stuff. And I mean, he's, yeah, he fit in really good with them. And I've seen them with like, man, I'm trying to, how many different drummers have I seen over with Overkill? I mean, there, yeah, I mean, there's been like four or five, I think. But I mean, he, yeah, he fits in really good.
Yeah. Well, and to
Yeah,
see
he's a
Death
good
Angel
drummer.
open for him. I'm a big Death Angel guy. I've fucking
Oh,
loved them.
I love Death Angel. I mean, they're one of the few old thrash bands that can put out good new material.
Yep.
That Left 4 Dead album, I just, or no, The Dream Calls for Blood, that's the name of it. Yeah.
So on.
That I like that as much as like their first couple records. So
Yeah. Well, so
yeah,
I do too. We actually, my wife and I, so Battlecross was on that like tour, that release tour with them. It was like Battlecross, Revocation, Diamond Plate, 3 Inches of Blood, and Death Angel. So we went out to LA and we caught that show at the Whiskey. It was fucking great, dude.
I've seen Death Angel a few times, and yeah, they never disappoint. That's another one of those bands that, you know, every time they come through, it's always opening for somebody else. It's like
Yeah.
I've never got to see them headline, so maybe someday.
I saw him headline down here at a strip club.
No, that would have been cool.
Yeah, it
That'd
was.
have been cool. I played at a strip club once. That was funny. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, the one here, they what they would do is like half of it was for strip and the other half was for club. So like
Yeah, that was a similar situation.
they'd do, you know, an all ages show. Like I took my daughter to see Rivers and Nile, Lorna Shore, and a couple other bands. And we're in there watching the bands, and in walks the stripper. Like, my daughter looks at me, and I'm like, ah, whatever. Good times. So,
That's funny, having an all ages show at a strip club. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. No, that's great.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
So what are like some of the best like Michigan bands for you that are out right now?
Oh man. Well, as I, you know, as I said before, well, I mentioned you know, Cavalcade, Glass Chimera, Lucid Furs, Temple of Void from Detroit. They're really heavy. They're really good. Perversion, Eisenblast, black metal. Oh, now that I'm talking about black metal, yeah, you know, there's definitely some good black metal popping up in Michigan. There's some kids from Flint called Bozzelvot. We played at Displaced Manor with them in Lansing, and it's like they're like Jethro Tull playing black metal, and they're kids, and they're amazing. And they have to be seen to be believed is all I can say about that, but they're really, really good. Yeah, like really good.
Hell yeah.
There's Throne from Jackson. I mean, we played a ton of shows with those guys. Those guys are really, really good. You know, like, yeah, Recorruptor,
Love those dudes.
you know, another one, Sauron, thrash guys, man. Knowing those guys, that's another band that you know, played those guys a bunch. They're great guys. And they play some of the best thrash metal ever. So those guys are cool. Well, Wastelander from Lansing. That's another great one. Man, see, I know, that's the thing. I mean, dude, yeah, I mean, I could. Oh, Against the Grain from Detroit.
Oh yeah, I love those. They're
like
too.
They're like Motorhead on steroids, dude. They're so good. That's a band I can't recommend enough. Is yeah, definitely Against the Grain. Man, there's just so many good ones. Mm-hmm. I could definitely talk all day. Oh, Exploding Zombies are still around. They're from Flint. From Flint, there. That's another good band that's still around.
What do you think?
They've been around since the '90s, and they're still killing it.
Hell yeah! What do you think of Tony Asta on vocals with Finality?
Oh yeah, we played with them a couple months ago. That was pretty cool. I never knew Tony could sing like that. We knew Battlecross since we used to play, play in front of like 10 people with them in Lansing with Genesiah. So it's like, go back quite a ways with those guys. So,
yeah,
but yeah, I never knew that Tony could sing like that. And they were really good. They were really good.
Yeah. It really surprised me too. Cause
you don't hear too many people doing like the 80s style, power metal vocals around here these days. So that's pretty cool.
Now, and knowing Tony as a guitar player, I'm one of those guys. I was like, I don't know, man. I'm a little hesitant of you like singing, like you. This might be pretty fucked up. And then I heard it, and I was like, oh, like that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah, you just never know, man. I mean, no, they sounded really good. That was a fun show that we played with them.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Supreme Mystic and
Supreme Mystic. Those guys are really good. Cyodyne. Mm-hmm. Those guys were good. That was a fun show. We always have fun playing at the Sanctuary, though. That's Sanctuary is probably my, favorite place in Detroit to play. Maxwell's always really cool to us, and he works hard to, bring as many cool shows as he can to Detroit, and he's doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, I think everyone kind of feels that way, right? Like Sanctuary has become the spot.
Yeah, and it's great because Maxwell start he started that out as like a DIY venue initially, and then he was eventually able to take over that space. It used to be the old Paychex, and turn it into the Sanctuary. And it's only they've been around a short time, but I mean that short amount of time, I mean the shows have just, I mean yeah, I mean they're just killing it with the shows. And like all different kinds of genres too, not just death metal or whatever. I mean, he's killing it. I mean, yeah. And the staff is all good there. The sound people, I guess everybody there is cool that works there. It's hard to say that about venues these days where you're just like every aspect of it. You're just like, hey, they're all cool. It's all cool. That goes a long way with me. Cause it's like, the less hassle, to play a show, the better. So it's just like, it sucks when you have to go into a situation and deal with people that just aren't fun to be around,
right?
So
yeah, but
it does happen though. You just gotta deal with it.
That's one of those things that probably makes Sanctuary like the spot everyone wants to play, because everyone's cool. It works really well. They're getting some huge shows. Is that where Vader and Origin?
It was a couple weeks ago. Speaking more of cool bands, Throne played that show, but also Nethergate from Detroit. Those guys are really good. Like I said, I could definitely keep naming some bands. There's definitely a lot of good bands. Snafu. They just got done going Pantera. Out with Pantera, so it's like really happy for those dudes. That's another band that's, that paid their dues 100 times over, and they're all really cool. And I go way back with the bass player, and Scott also works at the Sanctuary, so I see him all the time, and they're a really good band. And they're also on that Oxide Sessions channel. I was talking about. So yeah, I mean, what those guys are doing is, I mean, I should talk a second about what they're doing, because it's like, they're basically like recording bands for free. You know, you come to this recording studio, you set up like you're going to play a show, and they just record you playing your songs. They mix the audio, you know, multiple camera angles, all this stuff, and they make these episodes out of it, and they're not charging bands for it, and they're just donating their time and giving this platform for bands. And it's like, I mean, that's like a gift to the music scene pretty much, because it's like, you know that's like people that really like live music, or I really believe in the music scene to do stuff like that. So it's just like, we just did ours, and it's like, that's like the first time. It's like, I can't say, it's like, oh, I got like this professional live in the studio recording of just us playing. So it's just like, and there's video to go along with it. So it's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah, that's cool as shit.
So
I just had,
there's a lot of good bands on that channel. I've been checking them out.
I'm going to have to go look, cause it sounds really good. I just had, I think Ryan Staber's episode was released yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Try to hit all those guys. I really dig, like, I like what Phil's doing and taking a lot of those smaller bands out to open for Pantera on those runs.
I have Childbite.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Childbite too. Those guys are that's another band that's really good, and they got their own, they're doing their own thing. And, I respect the hell out of that. They have their own, and I've known Sean a while too. And, Sean put on those really awesome Berserker festivals there for a minute. Those were some of the best festivals music fests that the state has had. He'd like really put good lineups together. I was lucky enough to play a couple of them, with two different bands. He put these lineups together that were very diverse, but they still fell under the umbrella of heavy music. So, mm-hmm. and it just worked. Every year it got bigger and bigger. So I'm sure it was a lot of work, So you get to a point where it's like, I'm supposed to be making music, not putting on a festival. So I'm sure it was like, I'm sure it was probably one of those things where it's like, it was probably started to take away from, him wanting to do creative stuff. So, I totally understand that, but I do miss those festivals. Cause it's like, I see some of the, like the, I don't know, the Michigan Metal Fest or whatever. And I'm just like, it's like such a far cry from like what he was doing. But I mean, at least somebody's doing something. So,
yeah, I mean,
can't complain about that.
You've got the only two that I kind of remember right now are Oigs and Michigan Metal Fest, but I'm sure there's like one or two others, right?
Oh, yeah. Because before Oigs Fest, there was the Ogre Fest, which was around for like a while. And there was, all the Michigan Death Fest back in the 90s. Those were always really good back in the day. But yeah, and then there was the Carnival of Chaos that used to go on every year there for a minute. It was like a big outdoor. I remember going one year, and yeah, that was the only time I ever went. It was.
Is, I mean, like Pine Knob.
It was a good place. It was out in the country here, out in the, like at some racetrack out in the middle of nowhere, Michigan. And, it was all outdoors and camping and stuff like that. But it was one of those things where it was like, it was a good place to go party at for 3 days. But, there was just so many bands, and all anybody did was party at their campsite. So it was just kind of like, I guess if I was younger, I would probably think that that's, or want to still do stuff like that. But it's like, I love to play shows, but I love to play shows, but I don't really, I don't really party a whole lot anymore. So
it sucks getting old.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's just, you just kind of get to a point where you just don't feel like it anymore. It's not even really age. I'm not even really factoring age into it. I just, after you see so many people crash and burn, from it, it's like, and I was never, I mean, yeah, when I was younger, I had my years where, you know, I partied a lot, but it was like, I don't know. Like I said, I was never, I was like, you know, even like with like alcohol, it was like, I was always more of a social drinker. So it's like, I'm not like a, you know, sit at home and drink, you know, person, you know, like if I, you know, if I drink, it's like, you know, I'll have a couple beers if I'm at a show or something like that. But, you know, other than that, it's like, I don't even like, oh man, I could really use a beer. No, more often it's like, hey, I could really use a joint, you know, as
Yeah.
it should be. I mean, that's even what I do for a living. I work at a legalized cannabis grow processing facility for a company, and it's you know, I moved to this town in like 2008, and this is probably the best job I've had since I moved here. And you know, it's yeah, it, and it's pretty ironic actually, but
Yeah.
yeah. If you'd have told me back when I was much younger that, you know, not only would it be legal, but, you know, I would actually have a job in the industry, you know, legally, I would have said, yeah, sure, like that's gonna never fucking happen. Well, it did. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, and so Michigan's got the legalized cannabis, and then
Yeah.
they seem to be doing a lot with mushrooms too.
Yeah, that's there. Yeah, they're starting. There's a lot of deep. Well, and there and it's funny because there's actually a lot of medical science backing that up as far as why they're starting to decriminalize it, because they're finding benefits, you know, for like, you know, people with schizophrenia and other things, and it's and they're also saying, you know, it's because it's, you know, kind of like a reset switch for your brain, really. So if you think about it, so it's like, you know, who knew though that, you know, we'd get to a point where they talk about, you know, legalizing shrooms of all things. I mean,
Right.
that's just, but hey, I'm, you know, whatever. I mean, really, it's like, you know, it sometimes it almost seems like, you know, it's like, you know, there's a little too much deciding, you know, what we, you know, what we should put into our bodies, you know, being decided by other people anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, idealistically, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, I mean, who really cares? But everybody wants to make it their business. So,
Well, yeah,
you know.
they're more concerned with what everyone else is doing than what they're doing themselves most of the time.
Well, yeah. And really, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, they can say whatever they want about it, but, you know, I'm, you know, over the years, I've seen alcohol destroy way more people than I have, you know, the stuff that they go on and on about, you know,
Yep.
like, well, hell, I mean, when I was a kid, it was like, oh, marijuana is evil. You know,
Yep.
I mean, how my parents grew up during the Reefer Madness era. I mean, have you ever seen that movie, Reefer
Yeah.
Madness?
Yeah, I've
Pretty
got a
funny
copy
movie,
of it.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just think about it. Back when that came out, that wasn't viewed like how we view it, as this funny whatever it is. They took that shit very seriously, and they used that to like scare people into being like, marijuana is bad, you know. And now they've had to do this whole course reversal thing, you know. It's just like, it's funny. It really is, especially when, you know, in my hometown, I mean, you know, I definitely have my run-ins with the cops and stuff like that, just for, you know, being a pot smoker. I mean, it's kind of
Shit,
stupid.
I think
I
we
mean, it's
all did, but that
really,
was,
yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, I mean, how stupid is that? I mean,
yeah.
you know, there's hell in, you know, in other states, there's people currently sitting in jail for, you know, smoking or growing marijuana. I mean,
Yeah,
come
but
on, that's,
didn't they just
you know.
like do something, like federally with that, where there's some bill that maybe went up in front of the House that was supposed to get rid of.
They were talking about something, but I mean, but that's the thing, is like, who really knows what the status of that is, when, you know, all the attention is taken up by all the other shit that doesn't really matter.
The rest of the circus, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, they well, they, you know, how much do we time do we spend, you know, going on and on about stuff that doesn't really matter at the end of the day? It's like, what
Yep.
is it this week, you know?
Yep, it's all a fucking distraction.
Okay.
All right,
Yeah.
so show's coming up. You guys are working on new music.
Pretty
excited.
Oh yeah. We even got the artwork, but I can't show you that yet.
So.
But it's Juanjo Castellano that did the last one. He's doing this one, and because that guy's awesome. And in this time period where, everybody's, there's the controversy with the AI generated art and stuff like that. We believe in, paying an artist to, draw something, paint something for us, that represents the music we're recording. And, that's how we choose to do things. And, we're going to always use art by real artists, because we're kind of DIY anyways. Our CDN Records puts our music out and stuff, but we're still a DIY band. So, and my old band was, you're just so used to doing it all yourself. It's like, it's cool though. It's cool.
So do you guys have plans to go out of state anytime soon?
There's stuff we've talked about, but no like concrete plans right now. Cause right now we just want to get the record finished. So, okay. Once that's done and out, then we'll be looking at stuff. But like I said, like I said earlier, it's like, we want to get it finished, but sometimes these shows keep popping up and we're like, oh, we can't play. We gotta go do that show. It's the double-edged sword of enjoying playing live. And, cause I love playing live. That's still my favorite aspect of the whole thing. That's probably why I like the episode that we did this week for Oxide Sessions. Cause it's like, it's just live, and that's, it's us live. It's just mixed really well.
Hell yeah.
So that's nice. But yeah, so it's like, I'm just all about the live experience, even though I do love creating music. So it's a double-edged sword. So it's like, yeah, I'm really excited to, I'm really excited about all the new stuff, songs that we have. But it's like, yeah, so we're just trying to, get that done, and we'll be recording before you know it.
Rock and roll. Well, focus and get that done. Looking forward to seeing you guys again. Jim, I'm going to say thank you. I appreciate you coming to hang out tonight.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. Well, looking forward to some new tunes, and have yourself a good night. All right.
Yeah, you too, man. See you later.
Later, dude.